If you're looking for Norman Rockwell, Ozzie and Harriet, or the Cleaver family, this is not the book for you. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Dion. My guest is author Stacy Roberts, who has written the sequel to his first novel, Trailer Trash with a Girl's Name, Tales of the Family Who Puts the Fun in Dysfunctional. The second in the series is Father Figures. For the record, he is a guy. Stacy, welcome to WVXU.
Thank you.
Now, the jacket of your book says, being a boy with a girl's name was just the beginning. So clearly there is some fact-based writing going on in this book, and seems to me that faced with possible difficulties stemming from your name, you've decided to face life with humor, a little bit of wisecracking. Did you ever ask your parents how they chose your name, Stacy?
Yes, it was one of my first questions, really. The first thing I learned in school was that I had a girl's name, because they don't tell you, and then when you get to kindergarten or first grade, you find out something is off. And so it was the bullies who gave me a list of questions to go home with and say to my mother, where did this name come from? And my mother was not a fan of answering any direct questions. So her answer to why did you give me a girl's name was, I thought you were going to die. And she left it for me to interpret. You know, since I wasn't expected to survive, who cares what my name was? But she never clarified. And so I'm never going to get an answer.
Are you the eldest of several children?
No, I'm the youngest and not the favorite.
Well, that much is clear from the book.
Yes.
Give us a quick recap of the first book. Get us up to speed, Stacy.
First book, the premise, you know, having the girl's name. And then when I was 10 years old, my mother remarried and we moved into a Winnebago. And we lived in the Winnebago for 5 years and traveled throughout the country. And so I am rehabilitated trailer trash.
And this new book, Trailer Trash with a Girl's Name, Father Figures, picks up where the first book stopped. About what age is the title character?
In the beginning of the book, I'm in my teens, 14, 15, when my stepfather got arrested and went to jail. And it progresses through high school and, you know, my first marriage and having kids. And it's more of a growing up than the first book was.
Do you anticipate more books in the adventure series?
I don't know. There's a lot of leftover stories. My wife tells me that I should write another one and put stories of her in it. But I don't know if writing stories about people you're involved with is a path to discord.
So some people deal with challenges through therapy. Some people write books. How did you choose to become an author? What's your background?
Well, I've always wanted to write. I have a degree in literature and a degree in history, which is history is just a bunch of stories. And so I've always been fascinated by storytelling because it has an effect on the teller and the listener. And it's very interactive. And it's how we do everything. When you meet someone, before long, they're telling you a story of some kind. Even just how was your day, you get a story. And I think everybody has one. And I've always been fascinated by it.
So how much truth is there in the story? For example, your mother's cooking.
Oh, it's bad. And in the books, I've been trying to describe the taste of the food. And it's the closest I can get is some kind of desolate emotion. And so her cooking is bad, but she is militantly opposed to criticism. And so it never got any better.
My guest is author Stacy Roberts. Talking about his mother's cooking, here's one of my favorite excerpts. We got back to our Winnebago right as my mother was pulling a roast pan out of the oven in a hellish parody of Demon Birth. It was lamb with an applesauce glaze, black pepper, and mandarin oranges. It tasted like the pointed, helpless shame one feels at being ostracized by one's own community. So the recipe sounded delicious until you got to that second part.
Right. Ingredients matter, but then there's also execution, and I think that's where we drop the ball.
How did she react to your descriptions of her culinary skills?
The same thing she told me when I was 10. She said, you love my cooking, and there's nothing wrong with it. And your brother loves my cooking, which is all the validation she needed.
And the brother, clearly the favorite. Is that true?
Yes.
Is the brother older.
Yeah.
And you also describe your mother messing up people's names constantly.
All the time.
Is that true?
She sent us an anniversary card. My wife's name is Nikki, and the card came to Vicky. And I think someone had told her after the fact that that was wrong, and so she sent a supplementary anniversary card with the name spelled correctly. You know, to be fair, a lot of people get names wrong.
Sure.
But much like her cooking, she would get your name wrong, you would correct her, and then she would say something like, well, that's what I said. So there was no getting through.
Is your mom still with us?
Yes.
You use some really interesting literary devices in your writing to begin with the way you identify characters when you mention them, like Jaime Finkelstein, criminal mastermind, or Steve the Rat Fink, Ted the drug dealer. Why did you choose to write it that way?
Well, I felt originally it would give insight into the character that maybe I didn't have the talent to describe. And also there are some hidden things in there that if you read carefully, you'll see them. But when I was growing up, and still now today, I tend to think of people in terms of what they do so that I can remember them, because I think not being good with names might just be genetic. And so I use these identifiers to help me out.
And your book reads a lot like a script, almost dialogue with some stage directions. Do you have a theatrical background?
I do not, but I picked that method early on, and I'm not sure why, but once I started doing it, I kind of fell into it. And one thing that came of that is that the books are being optioned for development as a sitcom. And so the style to convert it to a screen format was much easier than I had expected. So it helped out in the translation.
Do you think you would be involved in the screenplay if that happens?
They've offered me the possibility of writing the shows. My only caveat is as long as they're good. I mean, as long as I can do it well, I don't mind doing it. But if there's somebody better, by all means, get them to do it. So I've written a pilot script, which they're supposed to shoot a pilot in the next month or so. And they've invited me out to see it, which I'm not going to pass up.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Do you work with local actors at all when you are working on the book to have people read this dialogue out loud?
My next move is to record it as an audiobook. There's a local playwright, Terry Foltz, who's plugged into the local theater scene, and she has promised me a supply of really good actors to help me record the audio.
So are you a retired person? Or are you still working?
No, I own an IT company that I started while I was in college to pay the bills. And 20-something years later, I'm still doing it.
It seems to me that to write a book or two books would take supreme discipline because you're not getting that instant feedback like a stand-up comic or a musician would get. What drives you?
I like the process of telling the story. So initially I write it for me, and then I'm in a writer's group that meets monthly, and I put these stories out to them to get some feedback, but I work on it until I like it.
Do you plan to continue writing?
Yes, I've got plenty of novels in the works, and I just need the free time to get started.
You write that the story of your growing up years end gradually with a whimper and not a bang, and that you feel 20 years old, even though 50 lives right down the street, and before you know it, it'll be over for dinner. Do you still feel 20?
Yes. And I don't know if I'm naturally childish or immature, but I think people experience this as they grow up. Your kids graduate and move out, and all of a sudden you're older than everybody you know, and you have grown children coming over, and it sneaks up on you. And then every now and then you get these realizations and you go, wow, I might just be old. And it's a big surprise because in your head, you don't feel like you've changed.
And I think it gives you a sort of a re-look at your own parents, because yes, you always thought they were older than dirt. Mm-hmm. And you realize that they probably felt the same way you did, just as scared and confused and hapless as they traveled down this journey. Got any activities coming up? Any readings of the book? Book signings?
I just did a reading, and I'm always looking for local opportunities to read. So I should be around town. I'm also on the board of directors of True Theater, which is Cincinnati's oldest storytelling organization. And we do shows every quarter. And so I'm involved in those as well.
Where can people get your books?
Yeah, available on Amazon. Also, the bookseller on Fountain Square has a couple of copies, but they're available online at any retailer.
My guest has been Stacy Roberts, the author with a girl's name. He is definitely a guy. The jacket of his book says, telling stories of your own childhood and early adulthood can make you think that the adventure is long over, that your life will settle ever lower into longer doctor visits and shorter work days leading to permanent vacations. But the Thanksgiving speech of gratitude reminds the adult children at the table that we are yet formidable. My guest, the still formidable Stacy Roberts, whose new book, Trailer Trash with a Girl's Name, Father Figures, might well leave you feeling that your family is the normal one. Thanks for that, Stacy.
Thanks for having me.
A link with more info on the book and the author can be found at wvxu.org. Thank you so much for stopping by, Stacy Roberts. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Elaine Deal.